Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
3 o'clock hour on the Hockman and Crowder show. Thanks to Chris Perkins. Man, we got like 24 minutes out of Perk there. I mean, he was ready to go, man. He was ready to go.
Perk was jacked up.
Yeah, it'd been a while.
I like it. Yeah, man. Perk be at every practice, man. Perk put his work in, man. I like CP.
He does.
Yeah, he knew how to butter me up, too. Ooh. Ooh. It was dumb to cut Mike White. I agree, Perk.
I'm not even pandering to you, but we've talked about that. I don't know if you listened that day. I was like, why cut Mike White? Why even let him go? You know, and I know they put him on practice squad and Buffalo claimed him and all that stuff, but I've seen Mike play more football than Skyler at the moment. And then when I saw Skyler playing that one game, I was like, damn, I don't know if Mike was going to put up 60 points. So, Josh, I don't know if he was going to throw 60
on the board. No, of course
not. But I know, I feel as if he would have done way better than Skyler.
It's just for the point that Perk said, is they just went through this 2 years ago where they had so many guys that, you know, they were on their third quarterback. And all of a sudden, you trust a guy to sign him to guaranteed money last year, and all of a sudden you don't, and you cut him, and now here you are with your fourth quarterback that you're trying this year again already. That was the old.
Man.
It's a 305.
Dale.
God
bless. Dale.
Thank you, Jimmy.
You're welcome, NFL. I'm glad Mike White got cut. Cry about it.
Wow,
man. Damn, Jimbo.
Jeez.
We just had a pretty good job saying why he shouldn't have.
Hawk is off today. I stand with you, Jimmy. Great take. Hawk is off today.
I want to clip that. Send it to Mike.
Send him my part, too. I like Mike.
I will.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Hey, you can bring him on the pivot. Exactly what everybody wants to hear. A sit down with Brett Taylor, RC Crowder, and Mike White.
I'd listen.
I didn't say anything about that, Josh. Tell Mike I said hello.
Will do.
Hawk is off today. He'll be back tomorrow. So no worries. 3 o'clock hour here. We're going to talk with George Richards. The Florida Panthers do play today. So I want to get to headlines here and dive right into that. The Panthers. Appel, you're our resident Panther expert until we have on Plagans or George Richards, which obviously GR will be next. The Panthers have played 4 games, 2 against the Bruins, their most recent game and opening night, and then 2 other games out on the road. They lost the other 2, but the 2 against the Bruins, they beat them each time. We are the Bruins daddies, are we not?
The Panthers are living rent-free in the minds of the Boston Bruins, right? They own TD Garden. It's Amerant Bank North up there in Boston. That not only did they go into the Boston yesterday in a catnay, Panthers matinee,
yeah,
cat mac and
we got that. Yeah, okay. All right.
That was pre-Wombo bit, by the way. That's just what we call them. Anyways, they went in there without Tkachuk, who's out for the week with an illness. They went in there without Barkov, and they took it to them. Like, Boston has this weird thing now where they play the Panthers where they're just totally uninterested in playing hockey. They want to go around here and lay these hits and play this undisciplined style, and the Panthers just like flicking them off their shoulder like it's nothing. You want to give us 4 power plays in the first period? Okay, fine with me. I did this whole rant on Jim Montgomery during the series that the Panthers played against them last season, and they just haven't changed since then. They're a bunch of whiners. Their fans are even worse. It's enough of the Bruins. I don't know when the Panthers play the Bruins again, but the Bruins should be very thankful that it's not going to be anytime soon. I mean, yeah, Jeremy Swayman, their goaltender, late in the game taking slashes at Sam Reinhart for no reason in front of the net. You had this no-name Kastelic guy after the game saying he's got problems with the Panthers. Hey, Kastelic, nobody thinks about you ever. Nobody knows who you are. It's enough. And this Brad Marchand and Pasternak, enough of these guys. enough of them. All right. Not only do I not think about this Castellet character, I don't think about any of them. They're not even on my radar. They're irrelevant to me. There you go.
I think you summed up Crowder's thoughts exactly.
Pasternak and Lickaway.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right. Yep. So George Richards will join us.
What's his name? Lickaway?
Jeremy Swayman said after the game yesterday, a reporter asked him, are the Panthers in your guys' heads right now? And he said, no. Listen, I love lying. I love lying. Jeremy Swayman, liar.
Yeah. I do love just the fact that TD Garden is Amerant Bank North. It really is. Like, the Panthers is going in there and crushing the stupid Bruins every single time. And nothing makes me happier than beating a Boston-based team. You know what I mean? Like, beat the Patriots. That's fun. You own the Bruins. You said Original Six now, Crowder. That's fun. Like, they think that they're real hockey fans. They're a real hockey team. They deserve the cup. And here comes this team from Florida with a bunch of guys who will throw down if you want to throw down. And they keep kicking their ass in Boston. Happens to be. It's poetic, brother. It really is.
It was a guy named Fat Eddie in my neighborhood as a kid in Tampa, Florida, Carrollwood, Florida, Carrollwood Meadows. That's when we had money. My mom and dad were still married. And Fat Eddie used to bully the neighborhood. And it got to a point right before I moved to Atlanta where Fat Eddie couldn't bully me anymore. And it made Fat Eddie hate me. Fat Eddie used to talk bad about me, Fat Eddie. But Fat Eddie wanted to fight me anymore because I grabbed him one time. And I was like, Fat Eddie, this ain't the time to grab me. Boston was Fat Eddie for a little while. And the Florida Panthers grew up into 11-year-old Chan. And at that point, Fat Eddie hates you because he can't be a bully anymore. We were bullied by the Lightning and the Bruins for a lot of years. And now the two Fat Eddies can't be Fat Eddie anymore. And that's what's going on. They hate us because they can't beat us up anymore.
Yeah.
I think that was a great analogy. And that's a true story. Fat Eddie whooped my ass one time when I was about 8.
Yeah.
Then I got in the gym.
How much older was Fat Eddie than you?
Fat Eddie was, you know what? I look back. He had a mustache. Fat Eddie might have been 17 when I was 8.
So a 17-year-old beating up an 8-year-old.
I might have been exaggerating. He might have been about 13. But he was older because Pepetto was his little brother.
Mm.
And me and Pepetto were the same age. Pepetto. But Fat Eddie, yeah. Fat Eddie one time, he choked me out in the garage and I cried and ran home.
Pepetto?
Where's Fat Eddie now?
Fat Eddie's in prison. I don't know for sure, Josh, but I'm just guessing.
The hell did you grow up, man? Little Italy? With a guy like Pepetto and Fat Eddie?
I don't think they had the same mothers. I think they had the same father. It was an interesting neighborhood, old Carrollwood Meadows.
Yeah.
How fat was he?
He was a very overweight little child. I feel bad for him now. Sure, I don't know if he's in prison, but sure he has diabetes.
Quickly, here's some trade grades from CBSSports.com. Who got the better end of the deal in the Devontae Adams trade? You guys want to guess what they graded out the Jets portion of this deal? Obviously, the Jets get Devontae Adams.
An A+.
B+.
It's a B-.
Wow.
Yeah. Oh, because of the contract.
I'll read the bad part of the trade. And they put it in air quotes, bad part of the trade, is that they're taking on the entirety of his contract. According to ESPN, the Raiders are not paying a single penny more of the $140 million contract he signed in 2022, soon to be 32 years old and already dealing with a minor hamstring injury. Adams, according to CBSSports.com, may not have the kind of impact fans are hoping for now that he's reunited with his 40-year-old best friend.
Hmm.
It's a good point, man. Aaron Rodgers looked okay at times yesterday. I'm still not buying into it. Week 17, Crowder, we talked about it. Week 17, week 18, yeah. He's been playing every week, taking hits every week. I don't know, man. Like, I'm just not buying it. If it happens, hey, New York Jets, they lifted the curse. Aaron Rodgers proved us all wrong. You know, good for them. But I'm not buying it until I see it.
I'm with you. Aaron is not the Aaron of Green Bay. But Peyton Manning wasn't the Peyton Manning of Indy when he went to Denver. They still won a championship. So, like, if Aaron can figure it out, do enough with the weapons of, like we talked about earlier, Garrett Wilson on one side, Devontae Adams, they're a top three wide receiving duo in the league right now. Garrett Wilson and Devontae Adams, that's special, but they have to have somebody giving them the ball. So I have to see that.
Now, in fairness, and I don't want to be the voice of reason for the Jets and Aaron Rodgers, but in fairness to the Jets and Aaron Rodgers, they are a poor performance in two separate games by Greg Zuerlein for being 4-2.
Yeah.
So all of this stuff is still true, but the margin is so slim that if Greg Zuerlein makes two kicks that are chip shots last night and makes a kick against Denver, Robert Saleh is still the coach, and they're 4-2.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, it's a good point. And if Javon Holland doesn't punch out a ball from Travis Etienne's hands, the Dolphins have one win. We could do that with
every team. And look, you're absolutely right. Here's the thing. Those things happened, and they lost, and they're at where they're at.
If Tua would have slid and not run into DeMar Hamlin, I mean, who knows? We wouldn't be talking about, you know, is he coming back? We'd be feeling good about going into this week.
No, you'd be talking about how dumb he was to slide before the first down because they would have turned it over on downs.
There was a little boy last night for the Bills that wore the Guardian pad on his helmet.
Yeah.
He had a great game.
Rap.
Yeah.
That little safety, and he was a little missile. He made a bunch of great plays.
He was awesome.
You look ridiculous, but I would encourage Tua. We talked about it yesterday, Appel. I would encourage Tua to wear the little Guardian pad on his helmet.
You don't look ridiculous, by the way. You keep saying that.
You look ridiculous.
I don't think you do. The only time you can notice, really, the only time as a TV consumer you can notice that they're wearing the Guardian helmet is if they zoom into his head. But if you're just looking at the wide shot of the field of play as a quarterback is hiking the ball, you don't notice. And so what if you know it? Who cares?
Y'all don't see that cumulus cloud sitting on top of his shoulder pads?
In the practices, it's way more noticeable. But when they put the logo and they paint it almost the same as what the helmet looks like, yeah, you got to really look at it. And you see it when you focus on it. But like quick glance, but it looks fine, honestly. It looks a lot better than I thought it would in games.
But what are we doing here?
If they made all of them wear the Guardian little pads, I would. There's nothing to me. My point yesterday too, Solana, you have to say I did clarify my point. The reason that people don't wear the Guardian helmet because it looks embarrassing to have that Guardian helmet on. That's the reason. We brought up Wes Welker. Remember, Josh, when Wes had the Revolution on and he looked like a wine bottle with a damn watermelon sitting on top and everybody talked about it. That's why people, it's extra protection, it's padding. It'll probably help Tua out with the concussions. The reasoning why players don't do it is because you're used to seeing football players in a certain way, and that does not look the usual, and it's embarrassing to players.
I wouldn't
wear a Revolution. They had Revolutions when I played. They put that Revolution, and I wore the biggest helmet that they made. Now I'm going to wear the biggest helmet of the big helmets? I'm not walking out here looking like a little bobblehead in front of all these people in these stands. No, I'm going to wear my shut.
I get it. I just don't understand what we're doing here. You wear a mouth guard to protect your teeth. Pads used to be less protective. They've increased technology to be more protective. Pads on your thighs, pads on your knees. You have knee braces on. You guys tape your ankles to protect your ankles. They did a whole thing on it yesterday with Aaron Rodgers not taping his old ass ankles. You wear an arm brace if your arm is more sensitive to being hit and it's going to break. Like, every other part of your body, you're willing to go the extra mile to protect it, but Tua's supposed to not wear the Guardian cap because he's afraid of what other people are going to say. It's just a flawed logic by me. Who cares? You know what it's going to do? Keep him on the field and keep him from fencing, which makes him the talk of the league. So I get what you're saying, Crowder. I'm not telling you that your take is wrong. I just think Tua should approach it as, who gives a bleep what they're saying? I want to be healthy.
Yep. And look at the game, whenever the next football game, and see how many people wear butt pads, hip pads, knee pads, and thigh pads. Nobody. No one in the NFL. I didn't even wear a mouthpiece most of the time. I'd have it in my helmet. I would wear a mouthpiece if I knew they were running the ball straight downhill with a fullback. 3rd and 11, I don't have to have a mouthpiece in. And my teeth could get bust out. And it's a better chance for a concussion. But I wanted to talk trash. I wanted to scream and yell at the offensive lineman. I wanted to talk about their sister and tell her she had STDs. Like, it dampened me from talking trash. Made no sense at all. But the 22, 23-year-old Crowder, I wanted to talk trash more than protect my teeth from getting hit and getting them knocked out. I'm telling you, I'm not saying I agree with it. I'm saying it's why people don't wear those helmets.
I would wear two of everything, man. Give me two mouthpieces. Give me two helmets. I'll wear two of everything just to prove a point. Stupid. You got a bunch of bravado for what? Let Tua wear the Guardian helmet, Crowder. Let him wear it.
That's why you ain't got no babies.
Headlines brought to you by Doral Hyundai. At Doral Hyundai, choose from over 1,300 new Hyundais. I'll be like Fat Eddie. I'll kick your ass. Let me know.
Listen. 1,300. Yeah, Fat Eddie got his off when I was 8, Solana. You don't want to come in 40-year-old Crowder.
I'll call Fat Eddie. He'll take your orange right now. Let me know.
Well, Big Butch got me too.
From over 1,300 new Hyundai models in inventory like the Tucson, Sonata, and Palisade. Remember, when it comes to Hyundai, the great deals are at Doral Hyundai. George Richards is going to join us next, so I'm going to zoom through headlines here. Basically, the Miami Heat play the Spurs tonight. Preseason action, 7:30. First game of a back-to-back, the rare preseason back-to-back. The Panthers play tonight as well. We'll get into it with George Richards on the other side. And if you're just joining us, Davante Adams has joined the New York Jets, and Amari Cooper has been traded to the Buffalo Bills. You do have MLB baseball tonight. The Yankees, who lead their series 1-0, will host the Guardians from Yankee Stadium at 7:38 p.m. Your weather from the Demesman and Dover Law Firm. Call them 866-954-MORE. YourAccidentAttorneys.com. Free consultations 24/7. Hot and humid. Might have to be keeping an eye out in the Atlantic. I don't think it's going to affect South Florida, but just in case, looks like there's a chance of a tropical depression forming, perhaps. And remember, cold front tomorrow. That is your weather. We will talk Florida Panthers hockey with George Richards of FloridaHockeyNow.com after this break.
You're listening to the Hawk and Crowder Show.
This isn't the Oprah Winfrey Show. My feelings don't matter.
Hawk and Crowder.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, quickly, I want to remind everybody you can come out and watch the Canes with WQAM and me this Saturday at noon. I'll be at the quarterdeck on University Drive in Davie. Canes take on Louisville, big game. You can enjoy ice-cold beer specials and get yourself entered to win a golf foursome to the Jacaranda Golf Club in Plantation. So cool prizes, cold beer, Canes at Louisville, quarterdeck on University Drive in Davie. Join me and our WQAM street team this Saturday at noon. George Richards has covered the Florida Panthers for over 20 years, and he joins us now on the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. George Richards is a Florida Panthers insider. Nobody knows more about the Cats, even though Appel probably feels like he does. Make sure you check out FloridaHockeyNow.com for all your Panthers news, like all three of us do. George, I was asking this of Appel and Crowder earlier, but the Panthers are officially the Bruins daddies, right? Like we can cement them as daddy status at this point.
Yeah, I mean, you look at the Boston Bruins and how they play against other teams, you know, and then the Panthers show up and they go out of their minds, right? They just, you know, they lose it. They don't know what's going on. So, yeah, the Panthers are definitely living rent-free in Boston's head right now. That's for sure.
George, it seems like the new guys they've brought in, especially in the fourth line, new guys like A.J. Greer, who's done a nice job, Jesper Boqvist, is like that fourth line seems like they've meshed really well into what the Panthers stylistically like to do. What have you made of the new additions through the first four games here?
Yeah, I agree with you. And I think that that's something that, you know, we talked about before the season started, right? That Bill Zito and his front office staff they really pick, you know, they look at players who they think are an upgrade. The Panthers could have signed a couple of their fourth line guys had they really wanted to, with the exception of Kevin Stenland, who got a big deal with Utah. Sorry, guys, I'm driving to the arena here in Columbus. They could have, you know, they could have kept all those guys, and they decided that they could upgrade the fourth line by going after some of these other guys. And we haven't even seen Thomas Nosek, who is, you know, who's going to be the fourth line center. He's been hurt since his second shift of the preseason. So, yeah, there have been some great additions, the Boquists, about both of them, Adam and Jesper. You know, nice moves by the Panthers for, you know, discount prices.
George, you mentioned you're on your way to the arena in Columbus. For those who don't know, this is the Columbus Blue Jackets' first home game since Johnny Gaudreau passed away before the season started. George, you covered the Blue Jackets for a little bit in between stints with the Panthers. I'm just wondering from your perspective what you think it's going to be like in that arena tonight. Not that the game is obviously secondary to what the Blue Jackets are going to do in honoring Johnny Gaudreau and his brother, but feels like the Panthers are kind of up against it just because, you know, they're in a back-to-back and everything that's surrounding this game tonight, what it means for Columbus. So what do you just think that atmosphere is going to be like tonight?
Yeah, it's going to be somber. It's going to be emotional. I mean, it's going to be everything you would think of, especially in a place like Columbus, where it's a very tight-knit community. It's kind of a small, it's like a big college town, right? Because Ohio State's here, but it's a big town. It's like, you know, one of the biggest cities in Ohio. But nobody really wants to play here. We saw Sergei Bobrovsky leave Columbus. We saw Artemi Panarin leave Columbus. And, you know, guys were just, I left Columbus. I mean, you know, people just kind of leave Columbus. And Johnny Gaudreau, as a free agent, said, I want to play for the Blue Jackets. And that really resonated with the fans here. Kind of like, a lot of you guys don't remember this, but Bernie Kosar leaving the University of Miami to play for the Cleveland Browns. The Cleveland Browns fans were like, somebody wants to play for us? Oh, my gosh. Same kind of thing here. And then you've got the unspeakable tragedy, you know, Johnny Gaudreau and his brother getting run over by a drunk driver while riding their bicycles. I mean, just such a waste. And, you know, now the Panthers are here. And listen, Paul Maurice said they're going to help Columbus as much as they can. You know, in this, the Panthers are going to wear Johnny Gaudreau warm-up jerseys tonight in warm-ups and auction them off for his charity. And, yeah, it's going to be a very emotional night for the Blue Jackets, who, you know, are postponing their regular opening night ceremonies for this.
And, Joel, that's one thing. The Gaudreau brothers and all that, anybody listening, if you're going to drink, don't go driving, because you know, you could ruin an entire family's life, multiple families' lives. So I always say, when, you know, bad things happen, you know, let's learn from it and let's look at it and see that, you know, move forward from it, but also learn from the situation. But something you said, George, we talked to you, I think, 2 weeks ago, and we were talking about the Stanley Cup hangover. And I love the way you put it. You said you can have a hangover or you can have a carryover. At 2-1-2, 4 points, you know, 4 points, still right there in the Atlantic, right? You know, they're in the middle of everything. Is it a carryover? Are they still playing the same style of Paul Ball as, actually, I think Josh Chappelle has damn,
you bet,
coined that phrase. But you bet. Are they in these first four games, George, are they playing the style of hockey that you expected them to?
Well, they did not Saturday night in Buffalo, and you saw what happened, right? I mean, when the Panthers don't play that style, you know, even a team like the Buffalo Sabres are going to beat them. And that's, you know, kind of what happened in front of – Spencer Knight wasn't great Saturday night, but neither were the Panthers. You saw the return of Paul Ball, I guess we're calling it now. You saw the return of it yesterday in Boston. And Florida really controlled that game. You know, they were down 1-0, but they, you know, had leads the rest of the way. And, you know, the forecheck is strong. They play a tough defense in front of the net. And really, you know, Sergei Bobrovsky was on, but so was the defense in front of him. So if the Panthers continue to play like that, yeah, absolutely. That's why Paul Maurice said he doesn't believe in this hangover. Of course he's going to say that. We get that. But what he's saying is, with the style of hockey that the Panthers play, you know, you've heard of recession proof. He thinks that it's, you know, hangover proof.
George, has Paul changed? He finally got his cup. Like, if you just, you know, yeah, maybe a little more laid back, just something. Now he's got over that hump. He got the monkey off his back, all the cliches. Has Paul changed, or he's still, I would say, aggressively pushing everybody at every angle?
I think if he would have changed, he would have given the guys a break the first couple days of training camp, right? Instead of running those 10 laps that he likes to do. And instead of just 3 days of it, he went to four. So, no, I don't think he's changed at all. I mean, he's coaching the same way. He's got the same demeanor. You know, he's great pregame. He's, you know, he's very analytical. So when you get him postgame, unless they win 10-0, he's going to find fault in something. And, you know, yeah, I think all these guys to a man, and that includes Paul Maurice, they want to do it again. And they want to go after this thing again and, you know, enjoy another summer with Stanley.
Oh, that sounds like fun to me, man. Just hopefully next parade a little less rain, George. That's all I'm hoping for.
I'm okay with the rain. A little less lightning. That was a little scary.
Yeah, that too. Yeah. That too. George Richards.
Just let Bob talk again. That's all I want. Well, I don't know what the hell he was saying, but I was excited.
A drunk Paul Maurice after his second cup would be fun too. I'm just saying. After his second cup would be fun too. George Richards, again, read his work, FloridaHockeyNow.com for all of your Panthers news. George, we appreciate you. Safe travels coming back to South Florida, and we'll talk again soon.
All right. Thanks, fellas. Have a good one.
Yep, you too. That's George Richards. Coming up, actually, we're going to do something fun. The Heat play the Spurs tonight, and Josh Appel has a link to the Spurs play-by-play broadcaster, the Spurs' new Eric Reed, if you will. So I said, hey, let's bring him on. Let's talk a little hoops, man. We're talking Dolphins. We're talking Panthers. Let's talk some Heat, Crowder. I'm looking forward to it. Are you down?
Lars Appelin. What's his name?
Pella Larson. I'm going to ask first question. It's going to be about Pella Larson. All right. We're going to talk with Jacob Toby on the other side.
Larson Pippen. I was thinking Larson Pippen.
That would be funny. Just first question about Larson Pippen. Hey, what are your thoughts on Michael Jordan's son and Larson Pippen?
Let go, Pella Larson. I'm sorry.
We'll do that on the other side. Hawk will be back mañana. Crowder, Appel, Solana, and Jimmy taking you up until 6. More Hawkman and Crowder next.
You're listening to the Hawk and Crowder Show.
Pause up. Dale.
Hawk and Crowder.
All right, we've been talking Dolphins. We just talked Panthers there with George Richards. Listen, man, I don't care if it is preseason. The Heat are back, baby. The Heat are back. Josh Appel's here. No Hawk. He'll be back tomorrow. It's Appel, Crowder, and Solana. We'll take you up until 6 p.m. I'm excited for our next guest, Jacob Toomey. He's the TV play-by-play voice for the San Antonio Spurs. He joins us now on the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. The Miami Heat host the Spurs 7:30 p.m. tonight. Preseason action. The Heat play a back-to-back tonight and tomorrow against the Hawks. But first, they get the San Antonio Spurs tonight, and Jacob joins us now. Jacob, I guess everybody in Miami wants to know, will we be seeing Wemby tonight? I don't know if there's a definitive answer, but I imagine you're used to that question now that you have Victor Wembanyama in San Antonio.
Yeah, that's first of all, thanks for having me on, guys. That's a question, you know, we ask a lot. Is Wemby going to suit up tonight? You know, he didn't play in the last preseason game against the Jazz. Saw him in the game before that against the Magic. So, did not see him in the preseason opener against the Thunder. So it's been two no-goes, one go. He was out there working pretty hard at shoot-around today. So take that for whatever you want. Have a definitive answer. So I'm hoping we do, man. Every time we get to watch this kid, it's unbelievable. And you'll see that, you know, he's added like 25 pounds of muscle this offseason. So he did that. He worked with Jamal Crawford in the offseason on his handle. So there is so much to be excited about with this kid. But they want to take it a little bit slow. He's just coming off the Olympics. He hasn't played in a little while. So because he is the prized possession in the NBA, right? He is the dude. So they want to make sure he's 100% ready to go for next Thursday night against the Mavs.
And Jay, I wanted to ask, when they say you're coming on, I had to ask, how does Pop deal with, like, what's going on right now? Because he's Hall of Fame. Like, he retires today. He's going to the Hall of Fame first ballot. Like, and now the rebuild. Does Pop deal well with the rebuild? Because he seems like a little edgy is the best word I can come up with.
Well, you know, Channing, I've only known since I, you know, got the gig a couple weeks ago. I've only known Pop for a little while, so I can't really speak to what he's thinking, but I think it's pretty clear that he wants to be around Victor and bring him to another level and bring him up to, you know, to be one of the best, if not the best in the world, right? I mean, he already is kind of in that echelon of some of the top players in the NBA, and it's just fine-tuning some of those things. And so, obviously, you know, last season didn't turn out the way that everyone wanted to. It was rebuilding. Everyone kind of understood that. But I think Pop's excited about this group that he has, and he brings in Chris Paul to work with Wemby, to throw those lobs, to work on the pick and roll. You know, he brings in a guy like Harrison Barnes, who's a veteran. So they're bringing in veterans to sort of hopefully speed up the rebuilding process. And who knows? But if Wemby goes out there and has an amazing season, you never know in the NBA. One player can kind of take you as far as they want to. So I think Pop's excited. And Wemby wanted to be coached by Pop. Like, he wanted to be a San Antonio Spur. And so it's been a great match. It's been a great match.
Jacob, we know Greg Popovich to be a little bit ornery with the media. Have you had any good Pop interactions yet? I know it's, like you said, it's only been a little bit, but have you had any good Pop interactions now as the play-by-play voice yet, or not? Not really.
Yeah, no, Pop's been great to me, man. Like, actually, literally, like, the night I was coming in to do some interviews with the team, I was having dinner with my now partner, Sean Elliott, and we were at a restaurant, and we walk in, and who's just sitting there? Having dinner, not with us, but with other people, the head coach of the Spurs, Greg Popovich. And so he came around the corner and we chatted it up for a bit, and he was busting my, you know what, hey, you know, have you ever played basketball before? Do you even know what basketball is? And we had a great, great conversation. So he's been very nice to me so far in the limited time that I've, you know, kind of connected with him.
Again, we're talking with Jacob Toby. He is the TV play-by-play voice for the San Antonio Spurs. The Heat and the Spurs play tonight. Jacob, the big addition this offseason, I know you have a very young team out in San Antonio, but had to have been Chris Paul, right? We've all seen the picture of CP with Victor Wembanyama, those two standing next to each other. Everybody kind of figured CP would be chasing down a ring. He'd be ring chasing at this point of his career. So I think it was an interesting move, but what are the expectations for that pairing this season? Is he going to come off the bench? Is he going to start? Is he mentoring Wemby and Vassell and some of the younger guys? Or are they expecting him to kind of contribute to a deep playoff run?
Yeah, it's interesting. Chris Paul, you know, you mentioned it, right? Could go chase a ring anywhere else. And obviously, like, the Spurs want to be in that conversation of going to get rings. And it's probably not this year, you know, in the coming years, yes, but not right now. And, you know, someone asked him at media day, why did you want to come here when you could have gone to any contender? And he actually pretty much said it was because he would get playing time. You know, he wants to play. He said, you know, if he's going to be far away from his family, because his family's out in Los Angeles, they're not going to move. He wants to play. So, and he's going to play a lot. He's going to start. He's been the starting point guard for the Spurs this preseason. And by all indications, I think that's what's going to happen. And again, being a mentor to guys like Victor, showing him the pick and roll, being a mentor to the fourth overall pick, Stephon Castle out of UConn, who won a national championship at UConn. Like, these are guys that are feeding off of Chris Paul's leadership and energy, and he's been through so much. He's seen everything you could possibly see in the NBA, and now this will be his 20th season. He's 39. Obviously, people, you know, talk about LeBron playing at such a high level at such an old age. Chris Paul isn't playing at that level, but still a very, very serviceable NBA point guard. And so, I mean, he's put up some great numbers in the preseason so far, and it's done wonders, I think, for the young guys. You mentioned Vassell, who's kind of working his way back from an injury right now. I won't see him tonight, but there's so much youth on this roster, and so having him and Harrison Barnes there, from all accounts that I've heard and seen and talked with people, like, it's making a big difference.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought up Harry. I was going to ask you, are you going to call him Harry on the broadcast?
No, I don't think so. No, I stick with Harrison. But
he's the oldest guy on the roster. He's 32 years old. That's crazy. Yeah. You know, I mean, just comparing it to the Heat, let's be honest. I mean, the Heat have a couple guys a little older than 32. Most of the guys are older than 32. That is an interesting dynamic where, you know, it's such a young team, but they brought in some of these vets like CP and Harry, obviously, to kind of fill out the spots.
Stop calling him Harry.
Hey, he's Harry. Harry Barnes.
Harry Barnes, yeah. I'll have to run that by him, see if he likes that or not. I don't know. I mean, we'll see. We'll maybe wait a little bit on that just because it's the start of the season. But, you know, Pop actually said this a couple ago, too. You know, Pop coached Harrison Barnes, Harry Barnes, at USA Basketball in 2019 at FIBA. And Pop literally said ever since then he's been trying to get Harrison Barnes on the Spurs. He fell in love with him then, the way he maximizes his abilities as a guy that can do a little bit of everything, play some defense, hit some threes, you know, spot up threes, take it to the rack, you know, play some defense. Like, he does a little bit of everything for you. Brings that leadership, has won a championship with the Warriors in 15, like he knows. And here's this, the best part about it is he's reliable and durable. You know, he's played 77-plus games the last three seasons, each of the last three seasons. So they can count on him. He'll be out there, and he'll bring that veteran leadership that Pop apparently has wanted for a long, long time.
Again, Jacob Toby, he is the Spurs TV play-by-play voice. And, Jacob, we really do appreciate you taking the time today. I know you're in the cassette. Is there something – you're in Miami. Is there something you want to do now that you're in – I don't know if you've been to Miami before, but, like, is there a place that you want to go hit up before heading to the Kaseya Center?
Yeah, I don't know. No, so I was here in 23 when the Nuggets were in the finals because I was covering the Nuggets in Denver. And so we were busy, you know, with the finals, and that was a great experience coming here and seeing those games. I you know, took a run out around the water yesterday. It was great. Our hotel's amazing. So I'm just living it up right now, you know, as a guy that just got to the league and is super blessed to be here and with a great organization. So, and it's nice and warm and we got the pool. So no, I'm having a great time, man. I'm excited just to get over to the arena, to be in there again and to call a game. And, you know, it's one of the best, better environments in the NBA. So, it'll be fun.
Jay, if you want to sneak the Tootsies, just say my name and ask for George.
All right.
Oh, man.
I'm trying to watch out for him. He's a young dude. You know, I take young dudes under my wing when I was playing. I'll take young dudes under my wing in the media. Ask for George. He'll watch out for you.
Jacob Toby.
Okay. Will do.
Jacob, sorry for the last minute of this, but I appreciate you taking the time and have a good broadcast tonight.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate you.
Yep. That's Jacob Toby there. What are you doing?
What's Crowder, he wanting to do?
Trying to get him in trouble, man. What are you doing?
Get him in trouble. He's a grown-ass man. He can do what he wants to when he's off of work.
I got the job 2 weeks ago, and you're trying to do something nice for us, and you're trying to coerce him into going to strip clubs. And
not coercing him. I'm giving
here.
Him options, Josh. I'm giving him options.
All right.
All right. Maybe him and Harry will go to Texas together.
He's going to call him Harry at one point this season, and he's going to be like, ugh. That stupid idiot in Miami. Damn it. Got it in my head. all right, more Hockman and Crowder coming up. We still have a lot to get to. We're going to do Game Day Uncensored. I have the stock market report coming up as well. And I want to perhaps actually have an insightful Major League Baseball conversation since Josh Chappell is on with us, because we can all yell out Shohei Ohtani. Crowder, we know, can yell out Mookie Betts. Yeah. And I can list a couple guys off the Yankees, but do we really know anything? Not really. Appel does. So we'll try to have an insightful MLB conversation coming up, or not. Who knows? All right.
The
4 o'clock hour. 4 o'clock hour is coming up after this.
You're listening to the Hawk and Crowder Show.
I used to spray paint raccoons and see if they come back in my yard after I catch them.
It's a great move.
Hawk and Crowder.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.